the measurement of whether or not we're really persevering in prayer is not last Wednesday, and it's not today. It's going to be 3 months, 6 months, 3 years from now, 30 years from now, Lord willing, whether or not we're still taking up the mantle of praying as Jesus requires us to do that. That will be the true test of prayer, because powerful prayer is always packaged, we're learning today, with persistent prayer. So one of the phrases that's helpful today is prayer can't just be a season of our lives, it must be a calling.
Good day and welcome again to Live in the Light. I'm Craig Turnbull, your host, and with me in studio is Pastor Robbie Simons. And just a reminder, listeners, at Live in the Light, we believe strongly that as God's Word is opened and exposed and we walk through it verse by verse, we can see radical transformation. And we're praying for that today as well for you. You've joined us for a great day. We're in the middle of a series on prayer, and we're going to one of our favorite, it's one of my favorite passages, Robbie, the persistent widow in Luke 18.
Yeah, Craig, tell me why it's one of your favorite passages.
I love it because she is called to keep, the Lord uses this example to call us to continue to pray over and over again.
Yeah, it's almost like he's suggesting, annoy me to the point that I relent.
Yeah,
right?
I love it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It really is in the text. So loved one, listener today, just think about that. God invites us to pray in such a way that in some ways, wonderfully, we become annoying, but wonderfully annoying, you know, in the sense that he will say, I've heard it so much, and because I love you so much, I give in and I give to you your desires if we are praying according again to his will. It's really, really neat. And that's why persistent prayer, praying for a day is one thing, but you got to pray for a lifetime. We're hearing examples today. George Mueller, so encouraging and inspiring to hear what he did through his faith. And so we're going to pray that God uses the prayers of our listeners in ways maybe he's never used before. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, well, we're praying for fuel in the tank for prayer today, persistence of prayer, Luke chapter 18, and here again is Robbie.
Luke 18 is where we are today, Luke chapter 18. You can open a Bible, you can encourage someone around you to do that as well. Luke chapter 18, we'll be looking at verses 1 to 8. So in week 1, we saw the power of prayer. In week 2, we entered down the path of prayer. And now here in our third week together, we're going to look at this, the persistence of prayer. The persistence of prayer. I like that word a lot, persistence. I want to define it for us as well. Persistence is this. This is just defined by the dictionary. Persistence is to continue steadfastly or firmly in some state, purpose, course of action, or the like. Especially, I love this part, especially in spite of opposition. That's what it means to be persistent. So the word persistence is really a good word then that goes hand in hand with biblical prayer. This is when we're finding out right now that biblical prayer is not just for the faint of heart, it's for those who will last for the long term. And so what I want to do then is take kind of the definition of persistence, now apply it biblically and kind of write it down for you. And this is really our big idea then for this whole message. And we'll put that phrase up right now. This is persistent prayer biblically. Now, biblical powerful prayer then is a steadfast pursuit of God. Prayer is so much more than a list of God, here's a few things I need. Prayer is the pursuit of God himself. This is what we're learning. It's worship. It's devotion. It's our heart. So biblical powerful prayer, a steadfast, continual, persistent pursuit of God with a determined faith. A bit of a run-on sentence here, but bear with me. I love it. All right. With a determined faith, even or especially in the midst of serious opposition. That's persistent prayer. This is where the power, the path of prayer again is seen and unleashed. It's understanding how much the Lord wants to see this in us. So prayer, we're learning biblically, will require faith. Prayer does require resolve. Prayer requires a fight, and true prayer requires persistence. Now, I must confess to you how excited I am for our church in this series, because I really believe the Lord is using it. I'm excited for what he is doing, excited for the things I'm hearing from different people. I'm excited what's happening in my own life and within my wife and my family and heart and the elders of this church. I'm excited for that. I really, really believe this is really important. But I also know that even this past Wednesday, this prayer meeting we had, close to 900 people showed up for this prayer meeting. And I have to say it, and I kind of hate to say it, but if you weren't there, you missed out. Okay, you flat out missed out if you weren't there, because God promises to bless people when they gather for this purpose. But you need to know what I know, even though we had maybe one of our best prayer meetings ever, is I know that the measurement of whether or not we're really persevering in prayer is not last Wednesday, and it's not today. It's going to be 3 months, 6 months, 3 years from now, 30 years from now, Lord willing, whether or not we're still taking up the mantle of praying as Jesus requires us to do that. That will be the true test of prayer, because powerful prayer is always packaged, we're learning today, with persistent prayer. So one of the phrases that's helpful today is prayer can't just be a season of our lives, it must be a calling. It can't just be for a moment, it must be for a lifetime. One of the metaphors we use around this church for prayer, it's like that screw that you tighten and you think you've figured it out, you walk away, but then you come back and that screw's been loosened again. And you're like, oh, I thought I tightened it. Well, you did tighten it, but over time, whatever happens, the thing gets loosened. That's prayer in our church. Right now in this series, we're tightening up this prayer screw, this prayer bolt. We're tightening it nice and firm, but if we think we've arrived and that's it, we're going to walk away, we're going to come back, and we're like, oh, what happened? What happened? Well, what happened is you can't ever think it's done. You must always return back to the pillar of prayer and to tighten that screw up to see what God wants to do in us as we are resolved to see this continue as a great strength within this church. So it's no coincidence then that Jesus explains a parable on this exact truth. Luke 18 verse 1, he says, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God, notice the second time he's saying this in a couple of verses, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, she's driving me crazy, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, here's the contrast, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God now give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? There's a few things we learn about persistent prayer from this really amazing parable that Jesus is explaining to his disciples. Here's the first thing we see. Point number one, by faith, I will not give up on prayer. By faith, I will not give up on prayer. Again, verse one. And he told them a parable to the effect they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, don't you just love verses in scripture where there's no question as to what it means? Because there are enough tough verses in scripture. You know what I'm saying? There's enough tough verses in the Bible. I look at it, I'm like, my mind just hurts just even thinking about it for any kind of length of time. But this isn't one of them. This isn't a verse that we're kind of confused by. This is a verse where Jesus is spoon-feeding his children to tell us his exact intention and purpose for what he's trying to communicate to us. So we say, thank you, Jesus, for verse one. Again, a parable to the effect they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Two phrases of purpose here from Jesus relating to this parable. Number one, we always must pray, and in the process, we must not lose heart. Two things I find right here then from Jesus' prayer is this. Number one, persistent prayer isn't an option for us. Persistent prayer will be seen in the child of God. And secondly, I learned this though from verse one, is prayer is going to be hard work. Prayer is hard work. We're going to deal with persevering prayer and the points to follow. I want to stop for a second on prayer being hard work. I find it interesting that when Jesus says that you may not lose heart, what's he saying? He's anticipating the discouragement and the weariness his disciples will feel at times regarding prayer. And if you're like me then, as Jesus anticipates the discouragement, you find yourself strangely encouraged that Jesus is expecting you to be discouraged. Does that make sense? So I do get discouraged in prayer at times. I do want to lose heart in prayer at times. I do find it very hard in times, but I love that Jesus understands this and he wants to encourage me in my discouragement. And that's what we're finding right here in verse 1. So be encouraged with the fact that at times we will be discouraged and we will grow weary. And yet Jesus says, do not lose heart in this. So loved ones, the whole point of the following parable is really this. We cannot give up on prayer. We cannot give up on prayer. We will be frustrated. At times we will be weary. At times we will be discouraged as well. But we must press on. The Christian life is often spoken of relating to a race. And prayer is no different. Prayer can't be a sprint. Rush out 2 hours a day, 2 hours a day, 2 hours a day. It's a marathon, man. It's a marathon of understanding we must last. So the Christian life being a race, it kind of reminds me when I was in grade 5. Ah, the good old days, huh? Grade 5. And there I was. I grew up in Clarkson, Mississauga. And I went to a school called Clarkson Public School, and I could point you the exact point on the street where I was running this cross-country race. I was not a long-distance runner. I preferred kind of the shorter sprints. And long-distance running, man, it's so painful. It just hurts. But there I am in this race, and I was just a little bit behind the leaders, and we had about a couple hundred meters to go, and I was running up the road, and I'm like, I hate running, you know, like this. You know, there it was. But then I saw my coach, who was also known as my dad. And my dad had a way of getting the best out of me. And my dad saw me lagging behind just a couple hundred meters, and he knew that if I pushed it, if I could win or I could try, I could actually probably win this race or whatever. And so there was my dad, and he was encouraging me, give it your best, Robbie. Come on, dig a little deeper. And wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden I see my dad and he's coaching me on, and I find I do have more to give. I don't have to give up right now. I will die at the end of the race, but I will go and I will go and I will try. And it's amazing to see what happened through that time. This is Jesus today in this parable. He's looking at us, and what we do is we think, oh, I'm too tired. I can't do this. I don't have any left. And Jesus is like, yeah, on your own, you're done. But with my strength and by my grace, there's so much more you can see when it comes to prayer. There's so much more that I will do through you, my child. If you will listen to me, if you will see my strength, if you will believe and not give up on the power of prayer. And to each one of us, and he starts with me right now, man, he's like, Robbie, don't you give up. Don't you give up. You'll be tempted. You'll be discouraged. There'll be times of weariness. But keep believing how powerful prayer really is. And in some ways, I live that out even right now as I speak in the third message of this week. And God is so gracious. He's saying to all of us right now, don't you dare give up in prayer. And he's the one again providing the strength and the grace to do so. But let's ask this. This is such an important question. Why is prayer so hard? Because it is so hard. And why at times are we tempted to be discouraged and to give up? Why are we tempted to lose heart when it comes to persistent prayer? You know, one of the ways to find yourself successful, especially in Christian life and maturity, is to know what you're up against. Because if you can't define your enemy, how can you defeat it? And so here are three reasons why prayer is hard. Three reasons why prayer is so hard in our lives. And let's not be ignorant to this. Number one, the first reason why prayer is so hard is because our flesh hates prayer. Our sinful nature hates prayer. Our sinful nature fights against prayer because prayer fights against our sinful nature. So things like sin and parts of sin being laziness and apathy, prayer is fighting against these things. Prayer is coming against our apathy, our lethargy, our laziness toward the things of Jesus Christ. You got to know that our flesh hates prayer. Here's the second reason. The devil hates prayer. The devil hates prayer. We're learning. He trembles at prayer. Again, why is it so easy to plump your bottom down on the couch and watch hours of TV? Because there's no fear in that for the enemy. We can sit down and pump sewage into our system entirely of watching all these hours of different shows that are doing nothing for us spiritually whatsoever. But the idea to pray for 5 minutes and then all of a sudden, distraction, 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 phone rings, got to answer email, this happens, something gets in my way, all these things begin. I mean, husbands, you know the thought of, I should go pray with my wife. You go to pray with your wife, all of a sudden you're doing something else. True, it's true. I should pray that person right now. You go to pray, oh, I don't really feel it. I'm feeling kind of sick. I want to go to the prayer meeting Wednesday night. And then what happens? Something happens. Why? Our flesh hates it, and the enemy is so afraid of it. You have to see that. This is why prayer is so hard. And here's the third reason. This is important too, why prayer is so hard. Because we're tempted not to believe in the power of prayer. We are tempted to not believe in the power of prayer. Okay, let's just have honesty in church right now. If we were totally honest, if we really believed in the power of prayer, as God says about prayer, would we not pray more? Wouldn't we pray more? I mean, honestly, if we really believed in what Jesus is saying about prayer, would we not then just be praying literally all the time in some form? I'd say we have to admit yes. I mean, why do you stop at the gas station to put gas in your car? Because you believe in the power of fuel. You do. You know, if I don't do this, I'm not running. Why do you put prayer in your life? Because you believe in its power. Because you believe if I don't do this, I'm not going to go very far for the things of Jesus Christ. It is that simple. See, and this is what I'm learning. The battlefield is in the mind. The Bible teaches us the battlefield is here. This is where what I believe determines how I behave. And if you believe that you can do it on your own, pride says, I don't need prayer because I can do it. So you are believing then an improper false teaching, improper theology saying, I can do it. Therefore, prayer isn't necessary. I will go on my strength and my way. That's disastrous. Right theology says, I believe what God says about prayer. Therefore, in everything, I must pray. And when I believe that, then that affects my behavior. And therefore, I say, if I don't pray, I'm dead. So I must pray. In order to see what God says will happen, only happening in prayer. See, that's why Jesus has this parable for us today. He says, man, you got to believe in prayer, and you cannot give up on prayer. But not just this verse, there's so many verses we could go through. Here are some on the screen for you right now. Look at these ones in Romans 12, verse 12. Be constant in prayer. Ephesians 6, praying at all times. You know, these are, it's kind of hard to find the wiggle room around these ones, you know? It's not like, hey, pray kind of when you feel like it or even pray most of the time. All times. Praying at all times. Doesn't mean you're verbally or audibly praying. It means your life is about prayer. It's an atmosphere of prayer within your life. Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer. I love that verse so much. And then our final one in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. It's kind of like, what part of this verse do we not get right now? You know what I'm saying? Like for me, I'll apply it to me. Robbie, what part of prayer without ceasing are you not understanding? And these are the commands in Scripture. Remember, God will never command from us what he's not willing to do in us. Okay? And this is the power of abiding. This is what the Lord wants to do. This is the belief by faith. I will not give up on prayer because of how much God says he will do through it. This takes us now to point number two. By faith, I will persevere in prayer. So I will not give up on prayer. I will persevere in prayer. And this is the parable now. So verse 2, Jesus said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Now, what's happening in this parable? I mean, it's a fascinating little story that we can easily, I think, misinterpret, but two things mainly are happening. We have an unjust judge. We have a judge who is not a fair man. And two times in three verses, the Bible tells us he neither fears God nor respects man. Again, unjust, unfair. He's in it for himself. Jesus is making this abundantly clear, this unjust judge, because he's going to contrast it with his perfect heavenly father. You have an unjust judge, now you have a widow. And the widow here, we're assuming she's very weak, she's poor. We know she's been wronged. It's important in the context of Scripture, we understand that widows were among the most defenseless in Jewish society. They were often oppressed. They were taken advantage of. They were often legal victims, as seen in our story right here. So when Jesus is explaining this parable, his listeners are totally picking up what he's putting down. And it's here then that we learn from the widow's life or her example, what we're learning, what she was doing. We learn a couple of things. She was persistent. Again, this is the point of this parable. It says in verse 3, she kept coming to him. She kept coming to the judge. She would not stop asking. So notice her hope and her strategy was her persistence. She would not stop asking until she was vindicated. Notice it wasn't that she was friendly. It wasn't that she had some status. It wasn't that she knew someone. It was her persistence. It was her importunity that she was showing here that got the results that she desired. So she was persistent. She was also persevering. In verse 5, it says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me. Literally, that phrase bothering me is causing him trouble. In our day, we would say, this person is driving me crazy. This person's driving me nuts. They won't leave me alone. So I have a child at home who will remain unnamed at this point, all right? But I have one of my children who has taken up the habit of saying, can I, Dad? 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 And just constantly asking me, he's constantly trying to start to learn that if he keeps asking Dad, at some point, I'll just be like, if you stop asking me, you can just go do whatever, you know? So I got lots of issues as a parent. I'm trying to learn. I'm reading books, all that kind of stuff, right? I'm trying to grow as a father and stuff. But this child, he'll come up and, Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? If you promise to not ask me again, then I might say yes to this right now. If you go over there and do, you know, again, lots of issues at home, all right? Lots of issues, praying for God's grace. This reminds what's happening right here. I mean, this widow is coming upon this judge saying, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. Literally wearing him down. And the text says in verse 5, beating him down. Beating him down by her continual coming. He just can't take it anymore. You know that phrase, beat me down? Literally, it's hit me under the eye. It's a phrase for boxers when they give someone a black eye. You're like, well, how does that relate to this judge? Well, probably because she's not just following him around on the court scene. It's like everywhere he goes, she's like, give me justice, give me justice. She's like, stop following me. You're driving me crazy. And she's like, give me justice, give me justice. Well, you just did it. He's like, fine, justice. I can't take it anymore. And his reputation has been wounded. And she's beat him down with her continual persistence in prayer. And finally, he's like, enough, enough. If you promise you will not keep doing this, then I will give you justice. Now, this becomes a fascinating little story that Jesus is sharing. And you're like, well, how does this relate to us then? Where's God in this and where are we in this? Well, let's first understand what the parable is saying. And what the parable is not saying. I believe the parable is saying we are like the widow in the sense that we are defenseless and we need justice from someone beyond ourselves and we are so needy. But the parable is not saying, that God is like this judge. In other words, our God is not someone who becomes worn out by our petitions. Our God is not an unjust and unfair man. He doesn't get fed up with us. No, no way. The truth is God delights in his children. He loves his children. He loves to bless you. He loves to hear from you. He loves to answer you as his child. So the reason then that this parable is so powerful is this. It's the contrast. If an unjust judge will vindicate, will give justice to this poor widow, how much more will a perfect heavenly father then respond to his children who cry to him day and night in the belief of powerful, persistent prayer? Loved ones, there's no question that in this parable, Jesus is saying to all of us, my child, I challenge you to keep praying. There's no question in this parable, Jesus is saying, I'm not done answering, therefore you're not done asking. Implicit within this parable, we are learning our Father requires persistent prayer. Implicit within this parable, we're learning our Father works within persistent, persevering prayer. He asks this from us, that we would not just pray for a day, but we would pray for a lifetime, beseeching him for what only he can bring. E.M. Bounds comments on this fact of our God working through persistent prayer. He says this, there is no plea so efficacious, effective. There is no prayer so effective as importunate prayer, persistent prayer, and none to which God surrenders himself so fully and so freely. Ian Bounds' take on this parable is, man, God works through those in a way he doesn't work through any other type of prayer than the child of God who seeks God day and night and honestly wants to see what God will do. See, we're learning amazing things within this, how much God loves us, but how much he wants to hear from us at the same time. You know what's also implicit within this parable? And this is very important for us, is that our Father does not always answer prayer right away. And make sure you see that within this too. And that's very, very important. So see this truth then. See this truth. Here's the truth on prayer. Ready? The truth on prayer is if you give up, you miss out. mean, that's just, that's one of our bottom lines for the day. If you give up on prayer, you missed out on life. If I give up, I miss out. That's what Jesus is saying here in part. Case in point is George Mueller. George Mueller was an amazing man of faith who lived in the 1800s, amazing man of prayer, running orphanages by faith. Listen to this. It says, in November 1844, George Mueller began to pray for the conversion of five individuals. Five individuals he prayed for every day, every day. 18 months passed before the first was converted. 5 years passed before the second was converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 6 years passed before the third was saved in Jesus Christ. 36 years later, he wrote that the other two, sons of one of his good friends, were still not saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wrote this, "But I hope in God, I pray on and look for the answer. They are not converted yet, but they will be." In 1897, 52 years after he began to pray daily without interruption for these two men, they were finally saved in Jesus Christ. Listen, listen, after he had died. You just think about that. We get excited for praying for something for a week, right? And here he was, a man of prayer and faith, and the Lord required him literally at a point to pray until he died, and he would not see his prayer answered until he got to heaven. I mean, think about, I thought about that story, and that's so challenging for so many of us because, well, we're not good at waiting. And I was thinking about the reunion in heaven, though, between Mueller. I mean, it's all God. It's all God's grace. There's nothing that humans can do to save themselves. It's believing what Christ has done. That's the power of the gospel. But still, there must be some sense in heaven in eternity. Mueller sees these two sons of his friend join, walk through the heavenly gates, and they recognize that God chose to use the prayers of this man that he would receive the life-saving grace of Jesus. I mean, it's just, that must be just an awesome moment. And Jesus gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. But that's the opportunity that we have right now to believe in this. If I give up, then I will miss out. I find this so powerful and helpful, right? We're learning here that, I mean, George Mueller, he had to wait, in some case, decades. Decades. The question I have then is, why does God sometimes delay in answering prayer? What are the purposes of God when he chooses not to answer our prayers in the timing that we would want? Three reasons for this too. Three reasons why God sometimes delays in answering prayer. Number one, he wants to see how serious we are. God will delay in answering prayer to find out, are we really serious for the things that we're asking? Is it just a momentary wish? Do we really mean this? Or is it really just something that we're just praying, but it's not really true within our hearts? How serious are we really about this prayer? Secondly, this is mind-boggling for me. The reason God will delay in answering prayer is because he wants us to spend time with him.
Thanks so much for listening to Live in the Light. We found this ministry to be such a blessing to us as well as our listeners. Our mission here at Live in the Light is to see the radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. But that's only made possible by you, our listeners. We're kept on the air by your generous gifts and donations. If you're interested in giving to Live in the Light, you can do so on our website at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-225-4448. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.